Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
My name is Padraig and welcome to The Voice Note, the podcast where I ask and answer some very difficult questions, divulge over your responses and have an absolute scream along the way.
I know, it felt like an eternity, but fear not, I'm back with episode 9. Welcome back to The Voice Note. I do hope everyone is thriving, and if not thriving, at least surviving. It's great to be back in front of the mic. Well, in front, behind the mic. I actually don't know, is it in front of the mic or behind the mic? I don't know which it is, but also, I actually wouldn't know anyway, because what I've come to realise since the last time I recorded an episode is, I noticed the sound was a bit off, and I'd bought a new mic, because my last one was the victim of a drinking activity, and the sound was all over the place, and it was annoying me, because I was like, I'm after buying this new mic now, and it's crap. But actually, it was my own fault, because I have since realised that the mic was actually facing the wrong way all the time, and that I was actually speaking into the back of the microphone. So no wonder it sounded like a load of shite. But look, it's all a learning process, and we're back now, and hopefully you can hear me loud and clear. Thanks as well to everyone who took the time out of their day to call me out on my inconsistency. But like, are we shocked? If I could add a fifth name to my already mile-long title, it's going to be inconsistency. Well, inconsistency or impatient. I don't know which describes me better. Padraig Timothy Inconsistent Wilson McCarthy. I love that. Padraig Timothy Inconsistent Wilson McCarthy has a bit of a ring to it. That could be my next drag name, actually. Now, but in all seriousness, I just found I was in the midst of a very busy spell. And this was the only deadline that was actually within my control. And you know me, I'm only happy when I can put my best foot forward. And sure, I'm on my Easter holidays now. So I was like, do you know what? I'll push it out by a week and I'll give all the girls exactly what they want. Anyway, moving on. This week is a little bit different. Call me Eponine because I'm on my own, my first solo ep. And I know when this comes out, it's going to be a different type of posting anxiety. Mainly because I only have myself to blame. So can we blow this up, please? Now, it's actually already kind of easier than I thought. And I think that's because I know I do an awful amount of talking to myself anyway. Like, I'm murder for just popping in the headphones, not listening to any music, and like pretending that I'm singing to something, but actually I'm like having an argument with myself, or I'm like practicing, you know when you're practicing conversations that you know you're never going to need to have, but just in case you practice them anyway. That's what I'm always doing that. So I'm just gonna take this episode as that. Are you witnessing a manic episode? Maybe. Well, you're about to find out anyway. So, as always, pop in those headphones, get out for a walk, sit back and relax, whatever you want to do, as long as you press play and listen to The Voice Note. To kick us off, First and foremost, is I'm going to chat a little bit of shit about some of the things that have been in the news over the last week or so, or even longer, that have had me by the ankles, because these are the things that I talk about daily. So we've known for a while now that Grow Éireann Tráth has been in the works, right? So it's basically an Irish version of Love Island, and I'm absolutely obsessed. And this week, Voice Note alumni James Kavanagh was announced as host, and obviously that hooked me straight in, because I was like, okay, brilliant choice, first of all, but we all love a bit of gay representation. I think that's what Love Island is missing. I think Love Island needs a resident gay, right? And the reason is, they're obviously not there for love, because the logistics of it is just too difficult, and I understand, I get that, right? A gay Love Island, absolutely all over it, but for the sake of the normal one that goes on at the moment now, the straight one, the boring one, we just need to drop in a resident gay. And the reason is, they would just mingle with the girls, mingle with the boys, and then just strike up a bit of drama, you know, just a bit of to and froing here and there. I heard she said, he heard she said, all these kind of things, a bit of hearsay, and just to bring the vibes, actually. Just drop in the gay to bring the vibes, and I think James Kavanagh is going to be brilliant at that. Now, I do have my reservations about the whole programme. We do some TV brilliantly, and I will give credit where credit is due. Production values are on the up. Drama series, for example. Irish drama series are actually some of the best in the world, and we're only on the up. Sure, we're getting all the awards, or at least we're getting nominated anyway. But historically, our answer to reality TV has been a bit mortifying. It's just been a bit embarrassing. But in fairness, as a society, we actually have advanced an awful lot since the days of California. Now, I fear Grow Éireann Tráth is already becoming a character trait of mine. Could I be the next Fionnuala J of the Grow Éireann Tráth? Who knows? Let's find out. But I'm just intrigued as to how it will work. And I have been thinking about it. And I have a few suggestions. Or I have a few ideas of how I think it should work. Because I do think that it needs to be a genuine Gaeltacht experience. Number one, housing. Now, I know we're in the midst of a housing crisis, and I know I love talking about it, but not that kind of housing, right? So if they manage to find a villa with a pool in the middle of Connemara, I'm going to be like, you know what, mad props. But I don't think they will. So what I think they need to do is they need to have boys and girls houses, right? Because you know, if you've been to the Gaeltacht, they're the only two genders that apparently exist. And you dare not cross the threshold of the house of the opposite gender, because that is just forbidden in the rule book. Mixed houses do not happen in the Gaeltacht, and so they shouldn't happen in Grow Éireann Tráth. And I think as well, it's going to add that extra element. Now, I'm going to assume that's not going to be the case for the purpose of the programme, because there won't be any Grow if they're not in the same house. But like, it's Grow Éireann Tráth, so they can Grow down on the beach all they want. They can Grow on the beach. Number two, there has to be a Bannan tea. And I want like a legit Bannan tea. I don't want someone going in pretending to be a Bannan tea. I want a proper, a miserable bitch. Number three, I suspect there won't be a fire pit. I'm imagining that if there is a drama, like, and they have to gather around the fire pit, they're going to be gathering around a bonfire on the beach. But I think no, scrap that, because it rains all the time in Ireland. So what they need to do is, the fire pit is a fireplace in an old man pub. But because the old men of the Gaeltacht are not going to be a bit impressed by the fact that there's cameras around the place and there's a load of young ones running around in bikinis, they're going to point blank refuse to leave the pub. So they're going to be in the pub spectating over all of the antics that happen around the fire pit. I think that now would be an extra element that would be just perfect. Number four, they have to have a staple Gaeltacht diet, which includes loads of waffles and beans. Because I don't know if you've been to the Gaeltacht, but when I was there, I must have eaten 5 kgs of beans in those 2 weeks. And honestly, I don't know if I'll ever be able to look at beans the same again. They just transport me right back straight away. Number five, they have to walk everywhere. No one gets a bus. Not even if it's lashing raining. You have to walk and you have to burn a hole in the sole of your shoes, because that's an authentic Gaeltacht experience. Number six, a cleaning rota. They have to be made to clean up the wear, and it has to be a cleaning rota, and it has to be stuck in the fridge, and you dare not go against the cleaning rota, or the miserable bitch of a Bannan tea is going to have your guts for garter. Number seven, you know the parties they have in Love Island and they go to the club and stuff? They're going to have them, but actually in Cayley form. No one knows true mortification Then when you're in the Gaeltacht and you don't know your hane from your doe from your three, and they make you do the Siege of Venice, like I used to be burning bright red. Now it got good crack towards the end, because what you realise is that nobody knows it, and that's something that we need to address in our schools, because everyone's going to need to know how to do a Siege of Venice, because someone's going to end up at a country wedding at some point. So teach them, make them do that. It could be a challenge, the Siege of Venice. It could be like our answer to, I don't know, the lie detector test, something along those lines anyway. Number 8. You have to sleep in a rickety bunk bed, right? Rickety bunk beds only. And also, there's only enough hot water for 2 showers per day, but there's 14 of you in the house and you're all reeking. Iconic. It's giving Big Brother vibes. It's giving I'm a Celeb vibes, actually. It's giving, like, an extra challenge. Add that in and we're going to get loads of drama. We're going to get loads of drama. What was that about? You'd spend a fortune to go down to the Gaeltacht. I've been to the Gaeltacht 3 times, right? I went when I was a child, well, when I was a teenager, and then I went twice when I was in college, and it was just goddamn awful. Do you know what it was? It was freezing. We went in January. I went to Dingle in January, right? And 3 people went home with pneumonia, right? And then my mum and dad were coming down on the Sunday for a spin, and I was like, when you're coming down, you better bring down my electric blanket. So they actually brought an electric blanket down for me, and I had to smuggle it into the house as if it was contraband, because God forbid you wasted any more electricity than you were allowed to actually use. But actually, we had a lovely Banantee. She was great. She had one rule. The only rule was, if you went out, because we were out every night, because it was just a big piss up. When you're in college, it's a big piss up, like. And we used to go out every night, and the only rule she had was, if you're home first, make sure you open the door with the key, and then put the key back out underneath the door, and then lock it from the inside. Grand, easy. One night, I ended up coming home early, right? And I was locked. And I took the key, opened the door, went in, locked the door with the key, and put the key underneath the mat on the inside of the door, and she left me have it the next morning in Irish, and I still don't know what she said to me, but she was furious, and I actually felt bad, because I don't think the woman had a bad bone in her body. Another night, actually, then, right, I was out again, obviously, because there was all you could do down there was go for a drink, and they used to call it Mary I Fortnite, great crack, like. But we were coming back one night, and everyone, we piled into the one van, and I got out of the van to help someone out of the van, because he was after one too many drinks. And do you know those sliding doors? Oh my God, I'll never forget it to the day I die, right? The thing, I could see the door sliding, but I couldn't move my hand fast enough. And it literally shut on my fingers, and it broke my fingers, right? So I go back to the Banantee, and I'm screaming, I'm like begging, I'm begging her now. I'm like, would you just speak to me in English for 2 seconds? I'd never clue what she was saying. So like, she led me in. It was blind leading the blind now. Brought me in, put my hand into the sink, and just poured loads of water on it as if that was going to fix it, right? So that was grand. I had a few drinks in me, so I slept that night, but I woke up the next morning and I was in agony. So I went down to the principal and I was like, look, I'm going to have to go to the doctor, because like, look, at my hand was swollen out. So she's like, okay. So she brought me into the car, sat in silence the whole way into the doctor, because I was not even engaging in the Irish, because I didn't have a clue what was going on. Like I knew how to say my name and stuff. Like I knew the necessities, obviously, from school, but at this point I didn't have any Irish to talk about anything outside of the obvious. So I went in anyway, and your mum was like, you're going to have to get those seen tests. So I came out and I said it to the principal, and she's like, oh, we've no way of getting you to the hospital. Kerry General now is about an hour and a half away from Dingle. So I had to drive myself into Kerry General with my left hand, because my right hand was broken. Got into Kerry General, was in there for 7 hours, right? And then they literally were like, oh yeah, it's broken, but there's nothing we can do about it. Didn't strap it up, nothing. Came away with like a little sling to keep my hand elevated. That was grand. Did the 2 weeks in the Gaeltacht with the broken hand. Came home to Cork, got a phone call from Kerry General. They ring me, right? And they say, hi, we're just looking over your x-rays here. I was like, yeah. They were like, you're going to have to go for another x-ray. Will you come back to us? I was like, well, I'm not going back to Kerry ever again. So they were like, okay, can you go to another hospital and have your hands seen? Went to the hospital, and I was in a cast for 2 months afterwards. A cast. They were meant to cast me. They never cast it properly. So that's my experience at the Gaeltacht. That and a couple of fuckle. And I'll never darken the door. No, I will. I'm only joking. Anyway, other than that, right, it says that all levels of Irish are welcome. Now, I'm screaming. Now, it's great for the Gaeltacht, and it's great for a bit of Irish representation. I think it's the right move to get Irish into the mainstream. But I just hope to the heavens now that it's like Michelle from Monaghan and like John from Leakslip. Like, we want true Irish representation. I want the shticks. I want farmers, primary school teachers. I want nurses. I don't want any influencer bullshit. I want proper, true Irish Buccalee and Collini. Look, even if it's a disaster, we're going to have memes from this from now until 2035. I'm getting my hopes up. I know I'm slating it, but I'm actually very excited for it. And even if it is a disaster, James Cavanagh is going to carry the whole thing in his back. So we're grand. Moving on. I'm not ashamed to admit, right, that I absolutely thrive off a celebrity death. And I know that sounds really bad, right? And I'm not hoping for death for anyone. But you know, like when a celeb dies and it's like the same news segment is on repeat for like 3 days. If you're watching Sky News and it's literally the same report over and over again, well, you better believe that I will watch that on repeat for 3 days. I literally cannot get enough of it. You know, I become like an Irish dad, and if anyone like questions my investment, like the time that the Queen died, the lads are like, you couldn't possibly still be watching this, and I'm like, we're watching history. Like, I'm literally hooked. But I was so saddened this week to hear about the death of Paul O'Grady. Like, it's always so sad that when icons like Paul die, like they only get their true recognition when they die. But looking at all like the tributes to him and looking back over old footage of Lily Savage really hit me. Like, it transported me back to my childhood. Like, I remember watching Lily Savage on Blankety Blank, right, with my family back in the day. And it was only this week that I realised, without realising back then, that was my first exposure to, like, drag, you know. And it was queer representation. And I think it was probably one of very few queer people who were on TV at the time. Him and your man that used to introduce Coronation Street. Remember him on UTV? He was as camp as Christmas and I loved him. And also your one that used to do Telly Bingo. I loved her too. But I think before all them, it was Lily Savage, right? And it was only this week that I realised that was actually my first exposure to drag. And I love drag, right? And I would have thought that my drag interest started like with Drag Race, because that's been going for like 15 years and I've been watching it for years too. And drag is a huge part, obviously, of the queer community. And I know it's not for everyone, but I do spend an awful lot of time watching Drag Race, talking about it with my friends. And like Lily Savage was my first exposure to it. And that was over 20 years ago. And we watched it as a family. And she said some outrageous shit. But it was seen as entertaining. And it was never questioned or condemned in my house anyway, because it was accepted because she was entertaining. And then, of course, later, Paul O'Grady had his own show. And I watched that every day after school with my nan. And his death just brought back, even though it's really stupid to say, it brought back loads of happy memories. But also we see that, like, in America now, especially at the moment, some states are, like, banning drag. And while it doesn't affect me directly, it just pisses me off, because I didn't realise until this week how important that queer representation when I was a little baby gay was, you know. And I just think it's such a shame to, like, for people who are growing up now, or for people who are going to be gay in the future, that they might not get to see that queer representation, or they might not be able to see a fabulous drag queen, because it's being banned for literally no reason. Drag queens are being vilified, and it's absolutely scandalous, because there's way worser things that are being accepted as normal. Like, you bring a child to a football match and you hear all these disgusting slurs that are being chanted and it seemed accepted, but you won't let a child see a man dressed as a woman. It's just mind-boggling for me. And I know the argument is that children shouldn't be brought to a drag show, but no one's asking you to bring your children to a drag show. And that's a really important conversation, but it's not my conversation to have. So I'm going to move on from there. But also on the Paul O'Grady note, it's just such a shame, because do you know one of his best friends was Cilla Black, and I was a huge Cilla Black stan back in the day. Infamously, I actually had a Bebo page that was titled Bring Cilla Black Back, and it actually had loads of followers. I actually wish I'd go on to Bebo and bring it back up, because it was one of my proudest achievements. As if Cilla Black now, who was in her 70s at the time, was going to be like, oh, this little fella over in Ireland has a fan page and wants me to come back, so I'm just going to come out of retirement. But anyway, both of them now dead, right? And I know this sounds outrageous, but this is the way my mind thinks. But like, we're just 1 month away from Eurovision, which is obviously a huge celebration for everyone, but like, it's so gay. It's being held in Liverpool, and you've got two proud Scousers, Paul O'Grady and Cilla Black, and they won't be there for it. But can you imagine if they were? Like, they should have been hosting that. They would have been iconic. And if Eurovision was going to be held in Cork and I died 2 months before it, I'm just telling you all now, I'd come back and I'd haunt every single one of you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Now, when I can't get a celebrity death, I'll settle for a celebrity trial any day of the week. And Gwyneth Paltrow's trial over the last few weeks has occupied a colossal amount of space in my brain. It was just brilliant from start to finish, and I can only assume that Netflix have a series in the makings already because it deserves it. I'm going to assume that everyone knows what happened, but I'll give you a clip note version anyway, right? So Gwyneth Paltrow was on a skiing holiday with her family in 2016, right? In this place, like, it's called Deer Valley Ski Resort, which is renowned for rich people and celebrities. Like, they all go there. It's very expensive, stunning space, obviously, whatever. Like, I think she spent $9,000, someone said, on ski lessons alone. So, like, it's not for you or me. Well, maybe for you, but it's certainly not for me. So anyway, while she was there, a collision occurred between Gwyneth and a man called Terry Sanderson, right? And that's all we actually really know, to be honest, because the rest of it is a bit blurred. It's a classic case of the rich suing the richer. And so begins the most white privileged court case in history. Can you actually be held accountable for what happens on a ski slope? Because in my experience, you get off that gondola on top of the mountain and it's Jesus take the wheel. So anyway, Sanderson claimed that Gwyneth crashed into him and then he broke his ribs and got a concussion. But she said that he crashed into her and that she thought that he was some kind of pervert because he was making these weird grunting noises. The rest of it then is just high court camp theatrics. And I was like, hook it to my veins like an IV drip. So anyway, every day she arrives to the courtroom dressed to the nines, right? Like, she's given 1980s rich widow on trial because she married a man that was 40 years her senior and then hired a hitman to murder him on their wedding night so that she could get the inheritance. Those kind of vibes. And she was giving this somber, like, look the whole time, but I think under it all, she was actually skitting. One day she rocks in with this obnoxiously large handbag and then everybody, like, on Twitter was going off being like, what could she possibly have in this bag? And then the whole day was consumed with what was in the bag and no one was actually paying attention to what was actually going on in the courtroom. Another day she arrives in a pair of glasses and she looks like Adam Driver from the House of Gucci. It was just brilliant. She played a character the whole way through and she was an icon. So she actually deserved to win it for that alone. Anyway, they had your man by the balls because one minute your man Sanderson is claiming that he can't remember the accident, right, because he's concussed. But the next minute he's describing it in great detail. He says that he's now a recluse, that he doesn't leave the house. But then the defence put up all these, like, photos of him that he's posted himself on social media since the accident happened in 2016, right? And he's on all these extravagant holidays. I think he's been to the Netherlands 3 times. He's been to Morocco 2 times, right? And in all the pictures, he's sliving, right? He's having a great time. He's all these gorgeous women around him. I don't know what's going on, right? He's a zaddy, like, he's literally a zaddy. So they call him out on it. They're like, you've been, you're saying you're a recluse, but, like, you've spent all this time abroad, you've been doing all these activities, you've been going on all these holidays, and they have pictures of him doing skydives and everything. It's just comedy. But then he goes on to say that actually it was his therapist. His therapist told him that he needed to go and do those things as part of his recovery. I'm sorry now, babe, right? Your therapist is not going to prescribe you to go to Morocco 2 times in the Netherlands 3 times. They're going to prescribe you a Xanax and they're going to tell you to practice some CBT. But also, while he's on the stand, he goes on to say that, like, you know, like, it's been a devastating, it's had a devastating impact on his life because he can no longer enjoy wine tastings. And apparently his yoga teacher went on to say that she doesn't like him anymore because his injuries essentially have made him shit at yoga. This is when he lost the crowd then, right? So he loses, she wins, and then she's leaving the court and she whispers something in his ear. Now, apparently she says something like, I wish you well, which is definitely in character for her. But if you go online and you read all of the things that people have made up that she said, it's just so funny. Again, not to bring it back to memes, but we're going to be getting memes of her facial expressions for decades to come. Now, if it was me and I crashed into Gwyneth Paltrow on the ski slope, I know I'd pretend that I wasn't in pain so I could just get the tea on her divorce with Chris Martin. But that's me personally. Anyway, she won the court case. The rest of the world witnessing were the real winners, though, in my opinion. Good for her. She counterclaimed for $1 and she got it. Now, it's the part you've all been waiting for, and I know it. It's time for the Q&A. So, as usual, I put out a question because I wanted people to get involved. And I thought, as it's my first solo ep, what else would be better than a Q&A? So I put up an anonymous box so people felt like they could ask me whatever they wanted. And oh my God, did they ask me. Now, there's more questions that I can't answer for legal reasons than I can answer. But I've picked a selection of the few that were PC. And I'm going to go through them now. I'm going to read the question and I'm going to give you my honest answer. So someone asked, if you could choose to relive a day in the past or see a day of your choice in the future, which would you choose? Now, it's funny because when I was thinking about this, I was like thinking back on like what days would I love to relive? And all I kept thinking about was days that I would not love to relive. So because I'm also a nosy prick, I'd love to see a day in the future. I'm not going to be like, oh, I want to see my wedding day because I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But what I would love to see is like, I'd love to see this date in 3 years' time or this even in a year's time, just to see what I'm at. See if I'm still doing the same old shit. I think that would be kind of good. I also have an issue with like fortune tellers. I love the idea of going to one and I've went to a few, but then what I do is I have a habit of trying to make what they told me happen and none of it's ever happened. So I'm kind of steering away from that, but I would love to see myself in a year's time even. I think that'd be kind of cool. Although would I? Oh my God, I don't know actually. Doesn't matter anyway, moving on. Who would be your ideal podcast guest? Now, I've debated over this for ages. And because I'm so indecisive, I came up with a few. But I'm going to whittle it down to like two different podcasts. One is someone that I won't be able to get. The other is I could actually potentially get if I put in a bit of groundwork. The one that I'd never get is Sharon Osbourne. I think I would love to get her locked and to spill some tea. Like she's all that X Factor tea from back in the day. And I feel like she'd have a load of shit on other people as well. And I also think she'd have no bother spilling the tea. But above all else, it would just record itself. I'd just let her speak. I'd listen to her all day. I think she's a scream. The one that I think that I could potentially get someday, and if you're listening, hit me up, is I would love to get Twink and Linda Martin on the pod. And the reason being is, now, apparently the feud's over, but they were feuding for years. There was war between Linda Martin and Twink. Now, it's absolutely outrageous that I could tell you more on this saga than anything that's actually useful, but I'm going to tell you about it anyway. So, like, I think it was, like, 2014 or 15 or something, right? And you remember Menopause the Musical? It was going around, it was doing the rounds there. I don't know if anyone actually went to see it, but it was doing the rounds anyway. You'd always see the pictures of it and you're obviously being advertised. So, it was obviously a musical about the menopause. And both Twink and Linda Martin were in it, right? And then Linda Martin said that she was like at the bar. I think she was with Louis Walsh's family or something. And she was at the bar and she went back to her hotel room. It was like the last night of the show or the second last night of the show or something like that. And they were having a few drinks and she opened the window and she could hear people talking, but she didn't take any notice. But then she heard her name being spoken about. So she kind of was like intrigued and she was obviously like, you would like, if you heard your name being mentioned, you're obviously going to listen. Now, can I just say, I'm neither Team Twink nor Team Martin. So anyway, she heard her name being mentioned and then she heard someone, Twink, calling her see you next Tuesday. Not going to say the word. So she heard that, right? So then she was obviously listening, right? So she was listening. And apparently Twink read her for filth for 2 hours straight or something. And she was just telling like that she wasn't talented and that she shouldn't have been on the show. And that she was like mentally deranged and saying all this awful stuff about her. Now, I am very aware that there's two sides to every story. So that's why I want to get him on the pod and I want to have it out and I want to know what really happened. I want to be the mediator. I want to hear from both sides and I want to draw my own conclusion on it because for too long I've been left wondering. Do you have any tattoos? I actually do. I have one tattoo. I always said I wanted to get a tattoo, but it had to have a meaning to it. Now, is it true that you always regret your first tattoo? Because someone told me that and it makes me feel a little bit better. I don't regret it. But when I see it, sometimes I get an awful fright. So I've got a tattoo on my left hand, or like on the back of my arm, and it's mountains and a rainbow. And the rainbow's in colour, but the mountains are in black. And the meaning behind it was like life's full of ups and downs, peaks and troughs. And then when I came out, things got better. Cliche much? I know, like it's mortifying. But you know what? It does have a meaning. So even when I don't like it, It's grand, do you know what I mean? I would like to get more tattoos, actually. I have an idea for one or two more, but I just don't know if I'm cool enough. So I'm just going to park the idea for now. But someday I know I'll be feeling a little bit manic and I'll be getting another tattoo. I just know it, like. This is a great question. Do you wish you came out earlier? Yes and no. This also answers another question I had, which was, do I have any regrets? My regrets always revolve around putting things off and, like, not doing things earlier. Now, like, part of me is like, oh, I wish I came out when I was 14. But, like, would it have been the same? I'm not sure if it would have been. Sometimes I think, like, did I miss out on an awful lot because I waited until I was 21, like, all those teen years? But I just don't think I did, to be honest. And, like, also, thinking back on 14-year-old me, even though I had loads of support, and that's probably why I wish I came out earlier, knowing what I know now. I don't know if 14-year-old me would have been able to handle it, because even though it went really well for me, and I'm very fortunate, I did go through the middle of it, and I was really, and I did really struggle with it. So I don't know if I actually wish I came out earlier. In a way I do, and in a way I don't, which I know is a roundabout way of answering that question. But I will say, in terms of regrets, I have decided that I need to be more proactive in doing things and stop putting things off, because look, you're only young and sexy once. Now I was screaming at this one. Someone goes, literally anonymous now, are you okay though, seriously? Are you okay though, seriously? Obviously not. Anyway, moving on. How did you have the confidence to start a podcast? Now, I can't tell you the walls that I climbed and the doubts that I had. Even the day I like announced that I was going to do one, like that morning I woke up and I was like, nah, not going to do it. And then that evening I was kind of grand again and I was like, okay, I'll just post it. So I posted and ghosted. I posted it and then I just didn't look at my phone. I posted it while I was in Cork and I got in the car and I drove to Dublin so that I wouldn't look at my phone for 2.5 hours. But it's one of those things, again, that I regret not doing sooner because I absolutely love doing it now. You just have to believe in yourself. You just have to, like, if it's something you want to do, and even if no one listens to it, just do it anyway. I did the Today FM course as well, and like that was part of the reason why I started it, is because I'd done this course and I'd spent the money and the time and the effort, and I'd learned all these new skills. And for me, if I want to do something, it has to have a meaning behind it. So like I was practicing these skills, editing and stuff, so that I wouldn't lose them. But like all of the stuff that I was doing was going nowhere and I was kind of losing interest. So I just thought like starting a podcast was going to be the best way for me to continue practicing those skills and be motivated to do so. So that's really how it all happened. That and because I love talking shit. So somebody asked, how do you find balancing your social media presence and primary teaching? I find that being a primary school teacher, there's a greater expectation to be a role model online in case any student or parent finds a profile. Now, okay, let's address this. Who's the bitch insinuating that I'm not a good role model? Nah, I'm only joking. Do you know what it is? This is a really good question, and it's a question that I get all the time, and I wasn't going to answer it because it's something that really does make me anxious, actually. Like, you know, speaking into my stories and being off private for people to see. But look, do you know what? I'll just answer it, right? So, like, it is very difficult because I do feel like some professions, teachers, nurses and stuff like that, like we're wide open to criticism. And like with social media, you're expected to be like on private or to put your name in Irish so that nobody can find you and fit a mold. But as you probably know by now, that's not me. But like also it's something that we don't encourage children to do. Like we're encouraging children to be in, like to have a voice and to like express their individuality and to basically do whatever they want as long as they're not hurting anybody else. For me, something was missing and it was affecting my happiness. And I wanted to do something fun and creative. So that's why I started the podcast. And you're not going to start a podcast and be on private and like not share like a certain part of your life. The way I see it is like it's separate to my day job. And like we work to live. We don't live to work. And that's something that I had to like remember. Like if your presence on social media is affecting your job, whatever your profession is, then I understand how it might become an issue. But like I try to keep them as separate. And as long as I'm not being offensive or hurting anyone, then if someone chooses to have a problem with it, well then it's not really my fault in the nicest way possible. Like you just have to do what makes you happy. Like life is far too short, and I'm trying to remind myself that there's bigger fish to fry than me talking shit about myself on my stories. Like, so babe, if you want to take your profile off private and if you want to do whatever you want, do it. Who's your celebrity crush? Easy, Joel Dommett. Next question. What have been the gayest moments in your life? Every day that I wake up is a gay day. But anyway, let me just whittle it down. One would be, we went to see Heidi and Closet with my housemates, and somehow we managed to convince her to come back to my house for a house party afterwards. That was very gay. Like I found so Heidi and Closet, for anyone who doesn't know, is like a famous drag queen. She's been in like 2 seasons of Drag Race But we went to see her show, and then we had mutual friends, and we were having a house party afterwards, and she came back. She came back to the house party. Now, out of drag, which I was disappointed about, but I'll never forget, right, I was standing in my tiny little kitchen, and she whipped out a bottle of vodka. But like, it was a gold-plated bottle of vodka. Like, it looked stunning now, to be fair. And obviously, we are falling all over her. We were like, oh my God, this is amazing. And she's like, yeah, this bottle of vodka cost me $2,500. And I was like, hardly though, as if she'd be bringing that to my house party in Drumcondra. I smelt a stunt there and then, but I just went with it. Now, the next day, we did look it up, and the bottle of vodka was available in O'Brien's Wines for 40 quid. So she was lying through her teeth. She was lying through the gap in her teeth. But anyway, besides the point, I'm in my kitchen drinking a warm mug of this vodka. Darren, my housemaid, is firing up the smoke machine in the front room, and the disco ball is booting. And at that point, when I was drinking the warm vodka with Heidi in closet out of drag in my tiny kitchen in Drumcondra, it was probably one of the gayest moments of my life. Another one would probably be any time I get a haircut or I'm in a taxi with a straight man. They're always extremely gay, especially when they like, they ask you about sport. That's always very gay, isn't it? Like, there's nothing worse. I have a fear. But you know what I've done over time is I've adapted. Do you know the way the fish change colours so the prey can't attack them? I've done very same energy. I've done the same thing. So as soon as someone hears my Cork accent, I know if they are a fan of the GA at all, they're going to bring up something about Cork. And if you're outside of Cork, it's going to be something bad. So all I say is, don't get me started now or I'll be here all day. And then I laugh it off and then I change the subject really quickly. That's always very gay. Another very gay day was my brother-in-law's stag. Christ, that was such a gay day. And I wouldn't mind, it wasn't gay at all, but it was for me. Do you know what I mean? So obviously I was at the stag. It was the same day as my sister's hen and I had to go to the stag. I was one of the groomsmen. Now, I didn't mind going at all. We had a great time. But like, I'm more of a hen. Like, I prefer a dick straw and I prefer a male stripper. But look, I took one for the team and off to Killarney I trod. And it started on the bus when everyone was drinking cans. And I was drinking cans too, but like, I was drinking Copperberg strawberry and lime. You know, and everyone else is drinking Heineken. That was kind of gay. And then we went and we called a drink. There was a round going and there was like 14 pints of Heineken and there was a vodka Diet Coke. And guess who the vodka and Diet Coke was for? The gay brother-in-law. And that was very gay. But like, do you know what? Work. As stags go, is great crack. If you were transported 400 years into the past with no clothes or anything else, how would you prove that you were from the future? Easy. I'd spit the lyrics of 2 and 2 at the cavemen. Okay, final question, and I have two answers for this one. What is the most useless fact that I know? And it's something to do with cows, and I know that is bizarre, and I don't know why I know them, but get a pen and get a paper, because these are going to blow your mind. One, a cow can only walk up the stairs, it cannot walk down the stairs, so do not try and bring a cow home. Two, a cow can only produce milk if it's eating grass, but the grass has to be living. Now, don't ask me how it works, because I haven't a clue. But if you ever find yourself in an awkward conversation, you know, like an icebreaker, and they ask for a useless fact, there you go, girls. And don't say, I'm not good to you. And that's a wrap for episode 9, my first solo ep. Thanks so much. If you've made it this far and you've listened to me chatting shit for the last 45 minutes, I'm absolutely weak for you. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time with episode 10. It's a big one, and I promise I won't be on my own for this one, and it will be in 2 weeks' time. But in the meantime, I hope the Easter honey comes and gives you all of the eggs that you deserve. Do head over to my socials. I'll be reaching out for the next ep. My Instagram, TikTok and Twitter is podrick_WMC. And don't forget to give me a nice 5-star rating there, will you, while you're at it. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening to The Voice Note.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA.
TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.